Thank you, everyone. If I'm looking a little bit sleepy, I flew in at 3 a.m. this morning after spending 8 days in Las Vegas, which I think is pretty tough on anyone, out there for a big Microsoft conference. So great to be here today. Has anyone here heard of LiveTiles? Wow, no one. A guy in the back, yes, you should have heard of us. We are about 3 years old. We've grown from zero to about $300 million in market cap in that time. And we're built around a UI development tool. Okay, so how you can build engaging an employee experience through portals internally. And we've been building on that. And what I'm going to talk a little bit about today is some of the AI pieces and regards to that, largely around bots and cobots, and whether you're investing in some of these areas, some of the things that we've actually seen, and what we're investing in now in terms of the product, but also where we think this is going to go in the future. Who here has been involved in a digital transformation project? Yes. How did it go? Okay. So. Great. Okay. I think the old services company that we ran a number of years ago, I think we did around about 800 of these projects over about 10 to 12 years. And we saw a lot of different outcomes. And we still see a lot of digital transformation projects now, and I think it's become a real buzzword, right? That you need to be going through this transformation. And what I'd like to talk about today is largely intelligent transformation. Okay, and I'll give you a few examples about what I mean. Who here has got a smartphone in their pocket? Yep, probably everyone. Yep, you've probably got an iPhone or a Samsung. You may have had it for probably the last 10 years. I think when did they come out? 2008, 2007. I would argue that we have been digitally transforming for many, many years, and I can think back to the 90s and early 2000s about this. So I'm going to talk about intelligent transformation and why I think that is actually important. You guys should all be familiar with this org chart. Okay, pretty standard for most organizations now, a very hierarchical structure. You might have a board, you might have an executive team, you'll have management and various people in specialized roles within the business. Who here has a personal assistant? Someone to help them do their job? Yep, a few of you. Okay, you might be embarrassed to put your hand up. I wish I had a personal assistant. And we're looking forward to a world, why shouldn't everyone have a personal assistant? Okay, to help us do those tasks, to free up our time to be spending on more high-value tasks. Okay. So what if we had a situation where everyone in the business had a personal assistant? Okay, you don't have to be in the executive team, the CEO or CIO. Okay, everyone can have a personal assistant to help them do their job. Okay, and this could be through bot, through conversational UI, through Cortana or some of those voice-to-text tools. But what happens when we have this situation, when we have these bots helping us to do some of our work? Okay, what happens when the bots don't do what we want the bots to do? Okay, so if I have a colleague and they're not performing in their role, what do? I go and speak to the manager, okay, or speak to HR and help them understand how they can perform better. What happens if we have bots that aren't performing? What do you do? Do you go speak to the bot about their performance? Who owns that bot? Okay, so we're starting to actually open up some pretty interesting questions around the proliferation of bots in an organization, in the enterprise, how they're being managed, how they're being governed, and actually how they're providing value to that business. Take that one step further, okay, and we have an army of bots. Okay, and I'll talk about some of the stats that Gartner is mentioning or predicting in the near future, in the next few years. That we are all going to have an army of bots. Okay, we could have the expenses bot that helps me do my expenses at the end of the month. Okay, we could have the password reset or assistant bot. Okay, so before you know it, you might have dozens, hundreds, or even thousands of bots in your enterprise. Okay, and that's throwing up a few challenges, and that's what we're trying to understand. LiveTiles, how do you actually manage all those bots in the organization and make sure that they're constantly adding value, but also deal with the situations when you're having problems with them, the training aspects and governance aspects. Everyone's heard of Gartner, I'm sure, and I'm sure you're probably looking at some of these stats and wondering, do they align with your current business and the amount of spend? There's a phenomenal quote by Gartner. I was at a conference in Florida last year, and they said that by 2021, we will spend more time conversing with bots than we will our spouse. Okay? It's a little bit frightening, but if you think about it, it makes sense. You spend 8 hours at work. Okay? You might only spend a couple of hours conversing with your spouse at the end of the day or in the morning. So it's not too crazy to actually think about, but I think it actually changes the way that we start thinking about this technology. Does anyone have any internal bots in their enterprise helping them do something? Yep, one or two? Okay. Anyone investing in a project to build bots at the moment? Yep. Okay, so either inside the firewall for your employee experience, but also outside for customer experience. And we're seeing a lot of them fail. Okay, I have had many, many bot failures when using the internet. Okay, I tried to buy insurance about a year ago when I arrived in New York City for my apartment. And the insurance company, I'm not going to name, forced me to try to buy the wrong type of insurance. Okay, and I couldn't buy that insurance, so I ended up going to a competitor. Okay, but a great example where I had a poor experience with bots. And I'm sure you've had situations in the business, in the enterprise, where you've had failed searches. Okay, anyone that's worked in knowledge management knows that search has been a bugbear for everyone for many, many years. Why doesn't it just work like Google? Okay, why can't I find the things that I want to do? And with search, you got very frustrated if you couldn't find that content. Exactly the same happens with bots. It just happens far, far quicker. Okay, I can almost guarantee that if you have one or two failed experiences through a bot, it's very, very hard to encourage your employees, your customers, to start using some of these tools. So I thought I'd just talk about some of the examples that we're seeing in our business and how we're helping our customers deal with bots. And that's the building of them, it's the deploying of those bots, and the governing of those bots as they start to proliferate outside their business. And the first one I want to talk about is around a large speedway in the US. Okay, so they have a large amount of seasonal workers. Anyone here working with temporary workers, seasonal workers, large amounts of training, onboarding, and management? So their issue was every time they had one of these race meets, they had to onboard these seasonal staff. They had a tablet that they walk around with a PDF file. And you do a control F, okay, so a find in that document to find the answer that someone might walk up to you to ask. Okay, so you're essentially a concierge. And there would be questions around ticketing, parking, okay, all the sort of questions you get over and over again. And these people would walk around with this PDF and they'd find that answer. So what we're doing with bots is adding that intelligence layer over the top. Okay, so a bot that concierge can actually ask questions. So the first piece of that is around natural language. Okay, I'm sure you're going to have a large, varied demographic of workers. Some may be older, some may be younger, some English may not be their first language. So understanding how people actually engage with that bot to ask those questions. And then adding intelligence over it, things like, where am I at this point in time? So if I want directions to car park F, it knows exactly where I'm standing. Okay? And they can give me directions that I can easily give to the person that I'm trying to serve. Okay, so these small things are just adding on top of the PDF that they used to do a control F and find those answers for, what I would call digital transformation. Okay, what we've been guilty of in the past of taking paper-based solutions and you know, just digitizing them, not really adding any value or any smarts to that, through to an intelligent solution whereby we're understanding where the user is, we're understanding exactly which day it is, because all the race meets may have slightly different parking schedules, and all of that complexity is being taken away from that user. Okay. We're also working with a large bed manufacturer. Okay, so one of their challenges was, how do we staff our call center at night? Okay, if you've bought a new bed, okay, if you've got a problem with it, it's probably at 11 p.m. at night that you're going to ring up that call center to understand how you resolve that problem. And their challenge was obviously the cost around staffing that call center, but also finding the talent, the people willing to work those night shifts. And what they realized that very, very quickly, 99% of those questions that they were getting asked over and over again. Okay, so they actually have an evening bot. And basically this bot just comes online in the evening and answers around about 90% of the questions that would have gone through to that call center. Okay, so they can take that evening staffing of that call center down by about 50 to 60%. Okay, so thinking about how these bots can help kind of an internal employee experience, but then also how that translates to your customer base as well. There's three things that I'd love to just kind of finish off with in terms of how this translates to the intelligent workplace. Okay, so I talked about digital transformation. We've been doing that for many, many years with varying levels of success. How do we translate that into something that's the intelligent workplace? And there's three things that I'm seeing day in, day out from our customers. And firstly, it's around deep personalization. Okay, we've had personalization for years. I think the AWS guy mentioned around personalization of the website. Okay, but by deep personalization being proactive and predictive. So thinking about me as an employee, okay, am I a little bit tardy? Okay, do I not get my expenses in on time? It should be proactively coming to me, knowing based on my previous work habits, hey, Daniel, you're not great at doing your expenses 3 days out. How about you take some photos of them now? We'll interrogate, understand those expenses, and send them off for approval. Okay, so that proactive and predictive approach to how your employees are consuming your workplace tools. The second is RPA. Okay, so hopefully you guys have all heard of this, robotic process automation. So how are we trying to automate those boring, kind of high volume, low value tasks to free up the human, in this case, to actually provide more value? And that's something that I do want to stress with the bot work that we do. And we often refer to them in the enterprise as cobots. Okay, they are working with humans. We are not here to replace humans. That's not our goal. We are here to hopefully free up the time for humans to feel more engaged, to provide more value to whatever role that they're actually trying to perform. And then thirdly, data and analytics will be embedded in everything that you do. Okay, I don't know how many times I have worked on a project or myself internally in an organization where I've gone, oh yes, I can run some analytics over that. I'll just got to extract the data set, put it in somewhere else, okay, and then I'll find whatever insights I was trying to locate. Okay, what we're seeing now, and certainly with cloud services, whether that be on AWS or Azure or Google, is it's being embedded in the tools that the users are actually using. Okay, and we do this with our platform. We actually make those insights consumable. We build them into the UI and the bots and the tools that they're actually using to deploy and making them really, really simple for those users to consume. Okay. All right. That's everything that I'd like to go through today. I'm happy to take any questions if anyone has any.
We have time for one or two questions, anybody? Don't be shy, but you're here the rest of the day?
We are outside, yes.
Yes, absolutely. So be sure to stop by their table. Fascinating stuff, but last call, going once, going twice.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh,
there we go.
A quick example of an everyday task.
So a good example is expenses. Okay, so something that, you know, a road warrior, someone that's out there every day that is frustrated with doing. You know, there's lots of services out there that you can hit that API. So through the bot, simple things like, hey, I just detected that you've had dinner or you've made a payment, and it could be take a photo of the receipt and I'll send that off for approval. Okay, so actually prompting the user based on their habits. Okay, it could be looking at their calendar, for example. Take a photo of the receipt, goes through the bot, gets processed and all the data extracted, sent off to whatever service that you're using to manage your receipts. Okay, rather than spending an hour or 2 hours at the end of the month going through your bag of receipts and trying to get them all sorted. Yep.
All right. Well, after the next presentation, we will have a networking lunch. There's about an hour, so if you need to pick this gentleman's brain, he's around to do it. Daniel, thank you so much. Let's give him a big round of applause.